Trustee Rita Athus?
Here.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Here.
Committee Vice Chair John Butler? Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Here.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Here.
Trustee Leland Strom?
Here.
Board Chair Eric Wazewitz?
Here.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Curry, will you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you, Mr. Perry.
May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved.
No, sir. Second. Second. Herrero.
Any discussion? All in favor of the agenda as specified, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of August 24th, 2023?
So moved, Wazewitz.
Again, can I get a second?
Second, Moore.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'll abstain from the vote. I was not present for the meeting.
Any opposition? Any abstention? Motion carried. Before I get into general...
Trustee Gales, can you make sure that your mic is on?
Before I get into general comments from the chair, I wanted to welcome Lee Strom to our committee. I think he's going to be a welcome addition to the board, and it's been a pleasure just talking with you briefly in the hallway. And welcome.
Looking
welcome.
Forward to it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see. Where am I? Oh, I would like to welcome everyone here today to our November meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee meeting. As we near the end of the academic semester, I want to thank all the faculty and staff who have worked so hard to support our students this fall. I'm going to deviate slightly from our prepared remarks and say, folks, when you see our students on campus, give them a smile or a hello. As you all may know, when it comes to the holiday time, this can be a depressing time period for students as well. They've got a lot going on. We want to be as supportive to them as possible, okay? And that's just a side note, and I say that from a father's standpoint because I'm dealing with daughters right now in school, and I sense their emotional state, and we need to keep that in mind. You can feel the sense of engagement on our campus. I want to wish our students the best as they finish up projects and papers and begin to prepare for final exams. Today, we have two informational items. The first is an annual report on programs that were reviewed last academic year. Last year, NIU conducted reviews of 18 academic programs in 4 centers. Periodic review supports the quality of NIU's educational programs. This report is also forwarded to the IBHE. The second information item is a presentation by Christine Mooney, Associate Professor, Department of Management, and Melissa Linkowski? And forgive me because I am terrible sometimes with names.
Montel, I'll have to help you with those policies.
Yes, please do. Please do. Professor, Department of Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment on Basics, Business and Science Integrated Curriculum and Sustainability. Before we go into the agenda, I want to welcome the University Advisory Council representatives present today. The current UAC representatives are Felicia Bohannon, Ben Creed, Brad Kripe, forgive me, Katie Jinko, Natasha Johnson, and Karen Wedby. Do any of you have comments for the board?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mrs. Perry, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Mr. Chair, we do not have any public comment this morning.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to invite Interim Executive Vice President and Provost Lori Ilish Piper to present the university reports.
Thank you, Trustee Gales. I also want to wish our students and our faculty the best as we wind down the semester and head toward final exams. I know I'm looking forward to a lot of events that mark the end of the fall semester, including a Thanksgiving dinner specifically for our international students, and end-of-year performances in theater and dance and music, as well as commencement, which will happen in just over a month. It's really an exciting time of the year. We do have two informational items today. Item 7A is the annual report on the oversight of academic programs. This report is also forwarded to the Illinois Board of Higher Education and is part of our accreditation process with the Higher Learning Commission. Program review is a lengthy and rigorous process that begins with a self-study and the gathering of data about program effectiveness. Those documents are reviewed at the college level and reported to the Executive Vice President and Provost, who forwards them to a university committee, the Academic Planning Council. In 2022-2023, 18 programs were reviewed and 4 centers were reviewed. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have on this report.
Trustees, any questions? Trustee Mathis. Mathis.
So the question is, how are students involved in these processes? It depends which process we're talking about. But when we look at annual reviews, obviously the data from students is included. But our APC committee, for example, has student representatives. So some of the review processes include students in them as well. In accreditation, many of the accreditors require that students play specific roles and that students be interviewed or that students be surveyed or that they meet with focus groups of students during campus visits. So students are integrated across the various processes.
Any other questions from our trustees? Hearing none, let's move on to the next item.
All right. Item 7B is a presentation on basics, business and science integrated curriculum for sustainability. It will be delivered by Professor Melissa Lencheski from the Department of Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment, and Associate Professor Christine Mooney from the Department of Management. Do you please come forward?
And we're excited to hear this.
We are.
And I just want to point out in advance how well aligned the work these faculty are doing is with the university goals and the direction that you have endorsed for the past 2 years.
Good. Okay, well, yeah, today we're going to be talking about basics, which is business and science integrated curriculum for sustainability. And as you said, I'm Melissa Lencheski from Earth, Atmosphere, and Environment, and also the Institute for the Study of the Environment, Sustainability, and Energy.
And I'm Christine Mooney, and I'm from the Department of Management in the College of Business.
Okay, next slide. Or how do we advance slides, or we just say next slide? Okay. So the research that we're talking about today is a funded National Science Foundation grant from IUS, which is the for undergrads STEM education. It brings together these universities for looking at how STEM science and business can come together to look at undergrad education. So this all started off with Bentley University. Bentley University is a private business university in Boston, Massachusetts. And what they did was they were looking at how they could be bringing in really complex sustainability issues across their entire university and focus on business. Well, then they wanted to write a National Science Foundation grant, and they wanted to bring in other types of universities. Well, because of our reputation of our business school and then a personal knowing geologists know each other, NIU was brought in. And then we brought in Wittenberg University, which is a small liberal arts college, so this is about 1,500 students in Ohio. Oregon State was brought in to look at the faculty, because we're not just doing curriculum development, we're looking at how to change a whole university. And then CERC, which is at Carleton College, brought in student perspective. So we looked at students across all these universities. Next slide. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to look at fundamentally transforming the way institutions of higher education, like NIU, support transdisciplinary curriculum development. And this is what we've been talking about at NIU for years. And we really wanted to focus on what are some of the issues that our students, especially for the 21st century workforce, that they're going to need. So we looked at this from a faculty perspective. How do we change the faculty and how we look at transdisciplinary? We did curriculum development, which I'm going to focus on today. And then how the students are actually learning this material. Next slide. So we started off with this idea of wicked problems and the UN sustainability goals. If you've never heard of wicked problems, these are contradictory, incomplete, and confusing information that involves numerous stakeholders from conflicting perceptions, needs, and values. you know, you can't solve today's problems from just one discipline. And sometimes it's contradictory. And so we wanted students to be able to look at these issues that are coming into the future, and how do we kind of incorporate all of this contradictory information? And then we wanted to bring in the UN sustainability goals, because in order to solve any one of these problems, we need to be looking at it from all of the different aspects. And so these are very complicated problems. And then how can we develop curriculum around these ideas? Next slide. So what we wanted to do is we had a framework for our research that we did here. So first, we developed modules that could be introduced in any type of classes. So what we wanted was a common core exercise that could go into a freshman level class, a graduate level class. It could be taught in any department across the university, so students could see the common problem. And then we wanted to develop course-specific lenses to look at it. So you look at a common problem, and then you have the faculty member, I'm in geology, look at it from an environmental, water quality issues. So we had this framework of how we were going to do this. Next slide. So one of the reasons that we wanted to do this is when we start looking at disciplines, when we look at our university, we're made up of all these different departments. And so a student majors in a department. We move on to multidisciplinary. We tell students, well, take a gen ed classes, and then hopefully you will take a little bit from this class, a little bit of this class, and then think about these problems. Well, students aren't doing that. They're looking at it as, I take this class and this class. Then we have the interdisciplinary centers, which kind of help to pull together some of those ideas, try to bring that idea. But where we wanted to go is this transdisciplinary idea, where we're bringing across the entire university and having students look at a problem from a broader sense in order to be able to help solve these problems. Next slide. So we had a lot of meetings. This process is not quick. This is a long process. This is innovative way of developing this curriculum. Isn't a weekend workshop. It isn't like, you know, send faculty members for a day. This is a long process. And so we had a lot of meetings where we all got together. Next slide. So the team from NIU consisted of a lot of different departments. So we were talking sciences, biology, we had anthropology, we had marketing, engineering. So we brought together faculty from across our entire university. Next slide. So how we did this, and this is really the innovative part of our whole exercise here, was we brought four faculty members from NIU, two science, two business. We had three different types of universities, so 12 faculty members all together, to kind of coalesce around a process. It was messy at times. Even the faculty are like, what are we doing? And it was confusing. But what we started to do is bring together these 12 faculty members around an issue. So we started off with that idea of wicked problems and sustainability. And we started off with a word cloud. And you can see our first word cloud that we had there. There was water, inequity, sustainability in there. Then what we did was we had them focus and look at the problem from all their different disciplines. So we started working, we had these meetings, and then we had a 1 week over the summer in June where all the faculty members across all these universities got together and started talking. And really, at the end of this week, they had a curriculum that they could use. So it's a long process. Then after we did that, we cleaned it up. The faculty went back and tried it out in their classrooms in the fall or the spring semester. And then we came back the next year to improve it. How did it work in a marketing class? Oh, well, could we improve this? Could we do this? Could we fix this? And then we came up with a curriculum that then could be tested in cohorts 3 and 4, actually went out and tried this with other things. Could you take what we did and try it in different classes? Next slide. So we ended up with two modules over the last 4 years. The first one is on the Mississippi watershed, water quality, so looking at the ideas of what we do upstream versus downstream and all the different stakeholders in that. And then the other curriculum we came up with was on circular economy. So how do all the things come together, like plastics or clothing, chocolate, cell phones, fall into that? So over this time period, we developed a curriculum that's now up online. It can be fit into a class in 1 to 2 weeks, so depending on how you do it. But we give you everything on here, from slides, rubrics, student handouts, websites, data that you can use. One of the other things that we find that was really interesting is we have what are called instructor stories. So say you're like, well, how would this fit into my class? I don't understand. There are stories and videos that come out for the faculty explaining how they incorporated this into a wide variety of courses across an entire universities and in all three of our different institutions, and how it fit from a freshman level class to a graduate level class. Next slide. So these are just a list of, there's a lot of names on here of all the different classes that this has been tried in. Classes like social entrepreneur, I've taught it in my water quality class. And you know, with my water quality class, I did the Mississippi watershed. Well, my course specific, what I did was I said, well, let's look at other watersheds around the world. Since we have the Center for Southeast Asian Studies here, I said, let's do the Mekong River. And so now students are comparing and contrasting what happens in the United States to what's happening on the other side of the planet, in order to be able to look at these different stakeholders and different issues around the world. Next slide. With that, I'll pass it on over to Christine.
Thank you. So I feel like I get to present some of the most exciting work, because the question is, did this really matter, right? Did we meet our goals? Spoiler alert, we did. So I'm going to present a little bit about the student learning that we captured, that we saw happen, and also about the faculty change, because that was also one of our goals. So next slide. So what we did with our students is we gave them a pre-survey and a post-survey, and we presented them with two wicked problems, right, the Mississippi watershed and the plastic problem. And we said, suppose you were going to address these problems, for instance, on the first one, the nitrogen pollution in the Mississippi watershed, please indicate how important you think the different disciplines would be in addressing this, right? So we gave these students a whole long list of disciplines, you know, marketing, finance, geology, chemistry, all of the different ones, and said, before they had the module, what do you think about these disciplines? And then after you have this, the teaching module, what do you think about these disciplines and their role in this? And we did that for these two wicked problems. Next slide, please. And so I'm just going to present part of our results, but this is representative of the results we found across the data. So this is two graphs. These are students who were taught the Mississippi watershed, so cohort one, and also some in cohort three, right? So they were taught this, and it was, you can see on the chart, let's look on the one on the left, right? This is how they responded to that Mississippi watershed question from the time before. The light blue line is the pre-survey results, and the dark blue is the post-survey results. And as you can see, across the disciplines, there's movement except for in the science, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Now, what we did was we consolidated that whole long list of disciplines, right, and we put all the business together, and we were able to do that statistically. It worked out. But as you can see, that there's movement, right? They actually beforehand maybe don't see that the humanities play a role in addressing this wicked problem, but afterwards they do. Now, what's happening with science? We think that's a ceiling effect, right? When you ask them a question about nitrogen in the Mississippi watershed, of course, even before they see the module, they're going to think, yeah, that's a science problem, right? So we don't think we're going to get much higher than that. So that was very exciting to see that. Now, the one on the left is even more exciting, I think, to us too, right? This is a group that was exposed to the Mississippi watershed. Therefore, it's not totally surprising that they saw some movement when we asked them that question. But then we presented them with this totally different wicked problem, plastic, right? And we said, hey, this is another wicked problem. And how do you see the discipline's role in that? And we still see movement on that too. So they're able, you know, these spillover effects, they're able to actually apply it to other wicked problems. So that was extremely exciting to us. And again, this is just the folks who did the Mississippi watershed module, this the same kind of results we had with those who were exposed to the circular economy. All right, next slide. So we also wanted to compare it to a national sample, right? So how is their learning going relative to the national sample? And as you can see here, this is the RIST. This is the Research for Integrated Science Curriculum Survey, and this has been given out to students in interdisciplinary science classes for over 3,500 students, right? And they were asked to self-assess their own learning along these different elements. I'm going to have to go over here because I didn't put my glasses on, and I can't. Learning the disciplines may have All right, next slide. All right, so as I said again, we were interested in faculty change. And so we wanted to kind of present to you what we found. And if you go to the next slide, it's a little bit of a complicated story. Oh, wait, sorry. Let me show you this, because this is really, really important. This is a picture of us all getting together in June of 2022. This was actually our first time to get together, so we didn't really talk about this much before, but this all came into effect in 2020 when we were first doing our training, and as you well know, we were all online. So while we anticipated being in person, having all these amazing workshops, we then went online and did this virtually. I think that goes to this how well we did it. I mean, not trying to brag, but I think we really were thoughtful in how well we did that, and we still got the results we got, but it was definitely challenging. And I think you see all of us very happy here for two reasons. A, we were excited to be together. But B, I think we all just like each other. This is an amazing group of people. And for many of us, myself included, it's been a very transformational aspect of my career to get to work with people across campus that I wouldn't necessarily think I would have worked with because, you know, we're kind of stuck in our disciplines. And then to get to work with all these professors from across these universities. So I think it just goes to just how fun, really fun and exciting this whole project was. All right, so now let's present the results for the next slide of the highlights of our faculty. and it, again, I said it's complicated. And this is not going to be surprising to you, right? The good news is that faculty are really, really motivated to do this. They see this as very supportive of their professional development. They really want to improve their pedagogy and learning, and they feel like this kind of transdisciplinary work can do that. And there's a real commitment and interest in sustainability education. But again, there are barriers. This does increase time and workload, right? This is complicated work. It does not necessarily in line in a lot of ways with how we're rewarded, right? Our faculty service reports, our tenure and promotion within our departments. And it's not necessarily considered a priority, at least that's the perception, right, by administration. And I have a caveat to that in just a minute. And then last, what is this? There's tensions just in our own disciplines around this, right? Right. So, for example, one of the things that we're doing right now is getting our work published. We presented it at a lot of different, conferences. But, you know, what conference do you present to? I presented it at one of the Academy of Management. And so you have science and all these other things there. And so there's just this confusion about this transdisciplinary work. So that's, you know, happening now. With regard to the perception of administration, again, these were questions that were given to all faculty across the universities. NIU has made movement on that. I believe it's goal 3A and 5, is that right? Right, curriculum development, innovation, and then work, collaboration around sustainability. So NIU is on the forefront of this and saying, yes, we do, we're making a statement, we do have a commitment to that. That said, I think more work can be done, and so if we go to the next slide, these are some of the suggestions that the faculty pointed out, right? Really helping support and motivate and respect that this is complex work. Playing a key role in creating and reinforcing policies that support this and don't work against this, right? This, of course, has to do with things like, obviously, promotion and tenure. And then also understanding that in order to launch and sustain, there needs to be support and resources, whether that's stipends, time off, whether that's teaching awards, right? And then going down to the last one, really identifying exemplars, and faculty are leading the way with this, right, and seeing role models, and this can be done. Because again, as Mel pointed out, it is kind of daunting at first. I mean, even when we were first meeting, right, we were, at one point I raised my hand, and I'm like, how are we defining sustainability? Because across campus, yeah. They define it one way, we define it another way, right? So it's coming up just initially with that common verbiage and language, and then kind of coming up with, oh, you teach things this way, you have to have these things in your classroom, and I can't have, so trying to fit it in, it's very worthwhile, but it just takes a lot. So understanding that. So just next slide, I just have a highlight of our overall kind of lessons learned to date. Transdisciplinary collaboration can work. Our basics module, our process that we used, right, allows this to happen. It is challenging, exciting, and relatively easy. We do know the convergence around a framing of this does take top-down support, and that's what the PIs provided in our case. But the iterative process, though messy, is very, very transformational and necessary, and students and faculty really benefit from this process. And so that's kind of what we've done so far, but we're not done yet. So if we can go to the next slide, I want to just really briefly highlight what our plans are for the next steps. So the two areas we really want to focus on the next steps are this idea of institutional scaling and capacity building at our individual institutions, as well as growing our network and broadening our reputation. And what we're going to do first to do that is we're going to go after a supplement grant for the NSF. This is a $2 million grant we'll submit next July. And we'll focus two things on that grant. Again, building out to our individual institutions, but also seeking three additional institutions to work with. Now, this is going to be a train-the-trainer model, right? Because as PIs, we can't keep going and doing all this. So we're going to train PIs at these individual institutions and have them then use that process at their institutions. This is another way, kind of the beta test. Can we train the trainer model, right? Then from there, when we think about scaling within NIU, we have the support from this grant, but we're also going to look to maybe some internal funding to support this, but also external funding. We think this is really exciting. We have results that this works. This is around sustainability education, so we think that there could be maybe some private funding to support this kind of work that happens. And then with regards to growing the network and broadening the reputation beyond the funding for this next grant, we're really looking to codify our what we've done, right? And so our processes. So, you know, somehow monetize and fee-based. Maybe we have an institution much like, I think it's Georgia State who does that for student learning and equity. You know, how do we then become these experts on what this process and what we're doing, and we can then provide services to other universities kind of across the U.S., but we think globally too, so across the world. We'll become the experts. That's our ultimate goal. So with that, thank you for taking the time and inviting us here, and we invite any questions or comments.
First of all, great presentation. Yeah, let me turn these things off. I think my voice carries and it doesn't carry on. Great presentation. Really loved your enthusiasm about the topic itself. You know, the question, I come from a kind of business slant when I look at these terms like sustainability, et cetera. And I'm glad you mentioned right towards the end of your presentation about how you had to bring commonality or the, so we have the common terms and everybody's on the same page, right? Right? Because when I look at sustainability, my definition may be totally different than what your definition is. So I look at this as an exercise of how to develop vehicles for conflict resolution, negotiation skills, especially when you bring other disciplines into the mix so you can see other perspectives. Did you find that you ran into issues of conflict where groups may not see eye to eye as to what terms mean or what objectives are being sought?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I just really thought about this. We probably should define sustainability prior to starting this. That was the first conflict in Burmese. I wouldn't call them actually conflicts, though, because okay. It was really a great group to work with. I mean, we handpicked the people to be part of that, right? So there wasn't this kind of, you know, like, no, this is how I do it. Like, you can't right. Do it that way. By the way, we define sustainability as financial, social, and environmental. Okay. It's along the lines with the NIU Strategic Sustainability Plan, which I was actually a part of that project too, right? So we're looking at that very globally. And we actually were defining it that way when we first had that discussion. But yeah, I mean, I think there were times, and this is what makes it complicated and hard work, right? Where, you know, I think an example is, you know, we were trying to do these brainstorming sessions about, again, remember, we started with student learning goals, and there was a lot of agreement around that, but once we get into the details of how you teach this, right, and we had someone who teaches agricultural, right, teaches about turtles in forests, and that's a very, obviously, rudimentary understanding because I come from the business school, right, and in the same cohort, we had an accounting professor, right, and so that's where you go, like, that's not going to work in my class, or this is not going to work in my class, yeah. So that's the kind of rub we had. What I will say, I'll give credit to all of our professors, because they kind of came together, they formed this, and then as PIs we put it together and we gave it to them, and I think there were still doubts about how it would fit, right? And yet they still did it and they still tried. But one of the beauties of our process is they came back the next year and reiterated, you know, we iterated on it. So they came back and said, this doesn't work, and their expertise came and iterated it so that it could fit better in these classes. So I think it's, what do they call it, creative destruction, right? And so I think that's what happened. And so what I think, I think there was no infighting, no, none of that, but very much, you know, good kind of discussions and disagreements so that we got the best modules that came out. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The only one that I can remember that we really had a disagreement, and it was terminology, it's not sustainability, but circular economy.
Oh, yeah. That one
we had a lot of talk about it, because our economists are like, well, this is how we define circular economy, and then us in the sustainability, and this, do it this way.
And we define it differently.
Yeah. And so that was another term that we needed to be able to define before we did it.
But just so you know, that the second module was actually called something different the first year. Mm-hmm. And so we iterated even the name, right? Mm-hmm. That's why we put in zero waste, because every economy is circular, apparently, to economists. I didn't so we have a zero waste, and then we had equitable in there, because the feedback we got was we don't have enough about equity in there, right? Mm-hmm. We're not putting a focus in there. So again, it was very much a collaborative, iterative process.
Now you mentioned the words train the trainer, teach the teacher.
Yeah.
What are you teaching them? At the end of the day, what's...
Yeah, you want to go ahead and just...
Yeah, so one of the things that we're training them on is that the process that we did here. So what we're doing is we're training faculty members from faculty members on how to do this process. So we're training faculty in order to do transdisciplinary curriculum development. So we're becoming, NIU here, is becoming one of the leaders to other universities on how you can do this, what kind of process this is like. And so we're very happy with this way that we're doing this. So we're training new faculty members. So we're looking around the area. We were brought in as a large public university, so we're looking at other large public universities, maybe minority serving institutions, historically black colleges. What can we be doing in order to be able to go to other types of universities too? So we will go over there and we will find faculty members who would like to learn how to do this kind of development of curriculum at their universities. We will train them on our process, and then they will go off and do it on their own. So we're hoping that at the end of this, we have these two modules, and we also want to keep them alive. So we're going to be making sure the data that there is current in curriculum and make sure they're alive. But we want to add more things to this that are coming out of all these other universities. And again, we think that we're going to become leaders in this idea of transdisciplinary curriculum development because of this grant.
Very good. John, forgive me, Trustee Butler.
There's a fly on my. He landed on the right screen because I have a no kill policy. He must know that, but he's not going anywhere.
I know.
He's just sitting there. I'm really interested in the slide where you talk about barriers, and so let me begin by pointing out that it's wonderful that we're exporting this process. We're working with others, and we're teaching others how to do it. But at the same time, I'm cognizant of the possibility that we're at an innovation moment here as an institution that could be great for us in the long term. I like to talk to my fellow trustees about how goal three in our goals that you mentioned earlier, which includes encouraging transdisciplinary scholarship, but also curricular innovation related to it, is really critical to our future as an institution. In a sort of business-oriented way of saying it, it's about our product. It's about what we offer our students and the faculty that we recruit to come to NIU, that relationship. Between the work they do and what they do in the classes. And so I'm interested because there's a research component to it where faculty are given an opportunity to do a type of research that may or may not be valued in the process of granting tenure and promotion because they're going outside perhaps of their traditional sources of publication and conferences and so forth. And then there's sort of the curricular component and the fear always that work may not matter as much in the reward system that looks primarily at research, right? So I guess I'm laying all this out and wondering what are you saying to faculty who say, well, for me the barrier is whether this work is going to be valued.
Right. We can't speak to that for the different departments, right? But we can present the data and say this is what needs to happen, right? I was also on the Transdisciplinary Research Committee, so I know the kind of ins and outs of the challenges there. I know in our department, we've already made some strides with interdisciplinary journals, right? And we actually, I'm on personnel this year too, and we're talking about the teaching component next semester, probably because I'm on the committee and I'm in basic, so I'm pushing that. So I think a lot of it happens due at the department or college level. I think if you're asking us, how did we recruit these individuals given these barriers? I think it became their motivation. I think through the grant, we were able to give stipends, right? We did not ask them to volunteer their time, right? Mm-hmm. We recognized that work, and with that work and with their motivation, they were willing to do this. But longer term in building it out, there needs to be that kind of support. And just, you know, a reminder as our next steps is we're not just going out to other, you know, train the trainer at other schools. We're doing that here as well. So it will be train the trainer model here at the university, right? Because one of the things we found that several of us taught these modules, and some students had it two, sometimes three times. It was funny to us that happened more at our university being the big one, right? There's nothing wrong with a student in the same module twice. They actually found learning in that. Getting it three times is a little much, right? So we need additional modules, not just the process to help, change faculty mindsets and kind of see that they can get through these challenges, but also, you know, have different modules out there. So we are planning with that grant to do both of those things, because ultimately I don't want to put up our theory of change, but we have a whole complicated theory of change that basically says we're trying to have institutional change here. That is ultimately the goal. And so I think we can offer some of that through our grant, but I think that's where the internal support is needed, right, at all different levels, because there needs to be alignment there, right? Because at the end of the day, you have a lot of assistant professors who are really interested. They're getting something different in the degrees. I mean, I think there are transdisciplinary degrees out there, PhDs now, right? So they're coming with this expectation that they could do this work. And yet, if you don't have that listed in my FSR every year, right, or in my TMP, I mean, then I'm not going to do it. I mean, I think I've been pretty clear about this. I started this work, I think I was first approached about this in 2014, the year after I got tenure. I would have never done something like this before tenure. But at tenure, I was like, oh, I'll try something new, right? And some of the stuff I have and I've done here doesn't really count much for me. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it to me because it's important. I think this work is really important, right? And I think I'd like to see some change with that so more people who are interested in doing it can actually do it, and it actually helps them professionally as well as personally in their careers. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does, okay. Absolutely. I just want to reinforce, though, I hope that we're doing a good enough job of speaking as a board about the importance of this work also through our endorsement of the university goals and the way in which we write about the work that's been done each year in that area. But let us know if there's more we can do structurally in terms of the reward system and in terms of the various organic governance documents, as soon as we can.
Right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I have seen improvement. I mean, I've been here for 23 years, and it has improved a lot. I've always been an interdisciplinary, transdisciplinary kind of person in my research, and it wasn't valued as much. It is more valued today. So there is movement at the university. There is some room for improvement, and there are certain things, like especially when we're talking about bylaws, having that top-down saying, value these things does make a difference. One of the things that a lot of times our faculty are worried about is the external people. When we go out for, especially for promotion and tenure, we ask outside people to write letters to them. Well, they're only evaluating them on their journals and stuff like that. And so part of the problem is they're always afraid if these letters come in with negative because they're doing this other stuff that maybe another university doesn't value as much as us. And so that could be somewhere that we could be looking at how do we handle external coming into the university is one thing that I was thinking of. And I think that this curriculum, and when we're moving towards it, I mean, we're moving towards having interdisciplinary centers, which is moving this thing. We're putting value into, like myself, I'm a joint appointment, so I do interdisciplinary. And it is also a training process to our faculty members in our department that this is valued. And so I do see movement, but I do think that there is some room improvements.
Yes, Trustee Herrera.
Thank you. So, sorry, I had to step out because I
was choking on, I think, a fig bar crumb. So, sorry. So I may have missed this, but I did see the data you have on the surveys for students, but I am really curious to hear what additional qualitative feedback did you get from students on the curriculum and the module? And then I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, so that's a great question, and actually that's part of the research that I'm currently doing, because we did, one of the things I brought up, we were just going to collect the quantitative, and I said, you know, we really should be capturing some of what their comments are. So we did do a subset of interviews. I think we have 20-some-odd interviews across the different universities, and we found, you know, kind of what we were looking at is what more than this, you know, obviously quantitative data, what more can this tell us? Like, what was the impact of this? And so some of the data suggests that they see real value in this kind of work. They see it valuable for their learning across campus. They can take it to other classes, right? They also see it, it's interesting, they also see it as very valuable in their careers longer term. But most of them, not surprisingly, say, well, I want to get a job first. And so it's not necessarily the forefront. Yes, it would be nice if there's sustainability built in. There'd be nice if there's kind of this we were mainly focused on the sustainability aspect. You know, this company, some said, yes, I'm looking only for companies that do sustainability work. Others said, well, yeah, down the line, but really I just need to get a job and pay my debt, which is not surprising to us. But there is a value in that. And then, of course, we delved into the value of different disciplines as well, and they definitely see a value of that, and they see that how that can carry over to, you know, when I approach another problem, I definitely will consider that now and things like that. So we did collect that work, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm always interested in the topic of like occupational identity and what something like this, the exposure to these very holistic or a holistic approach to problem solving would do for their occupational identity, their idea of like what their purpose might be or what their interests would be, or if it refined or validated their career goals.
I think we had some of that too. We had some, because I happen to know some were environmental science majors, and so in those cases it kind of validated, right? Because like, that's interdisciplinary by nature, right? And for others, it made them think differently, right? So if you have an accountant who doesn't necessarily think about sustainability, maybe they think about that. The companies they're working for down the line, how can they be a part of that? So we did see movement on that too. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. Exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a couple questions down on this end. Trustee Barsamian and then Trustee Wasowitz.
Good seeing you both. So what was the definition of sustainability that you arrived at?
Dennis, you know this. Right, well, it's basically people, profit, planet, right? So when we were first talking about it, the scientists across the aisle were talking about this sustainability, and I got the distinct sense they were talking environmental. And I brought up, well, in business, we think about financial sustainability, right? So we, and then we had folks, not in our PI team, but in our group of faculty who were from the humanities. And so we did come up with that kind of interrelated, you know, sustainability has to be self-preserving both at the financial, the environmental, and the social, societal levels. Yeah.
Okay. So if I understand this correctly, the modules that you develop, awesome. They are available for faculty to incorporate into their class curriculum?
That's right.
Yeah, and they're online, so they can go at any university. It's all freely available online.
Right, so is there a requirement for them to do that, or this is totally voluntary on their part?
So the faculty who are part of our cohorts 1 through 4, they had to do it as part of their our stipend that we paid for them. They had to try it out 1 year, come back, and then retry it again. Okay. So that was part of the agreement that we had. Outside of that, we've had other faculty members who, you know, anyone can use these anywhere in the world, but we'd like for them to become more incorporated without having to have the financial side to this.
Right.
And just to add too, so cohort 3 and 4 were additions because we saved all this money from, you know, not traveling. We are still collecting data for cohort 3. So what you saw was data from cohorts 1 through 3. So 3 and 4 did not create a module. They are teaching it, and they're required to have their students
you know, complete the surveys because we want to obviously
collect
data.
Want the data, yeah.
Okay, and also these are teachers, these professors who didn't actually create the module, they're just teaching it, then what are we seeing the same kind of effects? And spoiler alert, we are.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was part of the requirements for the site.
And the difference between cohort 3 and cohort 4, cohort 3, we kind of really walk through the whole process with them. We spent a day with them. We walked through everything. We were really intentional. Cohort 4, we wanted to try this out, was here you go.
Yeah.
Here's our website. Do you have any questions? And can you teach it just without us walking you through it?
Right.
And so we're comparing these two different types of approaches to introducing this to faculty members.
And we don't know what the data on that is yet, right?
No.
It's reflecting it. So, but, you know, fingers crossed. But if not, we'll go back and look and see, and that will help inform our process when we go forward and train the trainer.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that you're doing the train the trainer with other universities across the country. But who is going to be the repository of these modules that get developed so that they're in one place and, to your point, that they're kept current and such, and so that folks can go in and use them in their classroom? Is there some agreement on who's going to be the librarian, if you will, for the modules?
Yeah, so CERC, which is the Science Resource Center at Carleton College, they started off in the geosciences, having a repository of different curriculum. They are the repository for this. So they are set up as a center that has the listservs. They are the ones who make sure that they have marketing people and making sure the visuals are all correct. They have people who go in there and test all of them to make sure the links are working into there. So part of the grant, that's why CERC is also there. They're evaluating the students, but they're also the repository for it. So we work with, like, Mitchell is one of this last summer, one of the things we wanted to do is make sure that all of our curriculum was accessible. So we went through all of the curriculum and we checked it. We actually hired a grad student to go through all of them to make sure accessibility. This year, what we're doing is we're hiring grad students to go through the curriculum and make sure all of the data is current, put up new data. So CERC is the repository for it, and we want to make sure that that stays alive. And so that's why we brought in this organization.
And Carleton College will be on the next grant, so it will continue for this next round of Train the Trainer. But again, like I said, because we want to, you know, be the experts, that will be the next step in deciding that. But NIU will be a part of that partnership. I suspect it will be the same four universities that will be part of that partnership.
Last question for you, and then I have a lot more, but I'll get on the side with you. I didn't see the NGO Center on here as one of the participants, the NGO in the non-for-profit center. Were they a part of this group and a part of this effort? And if not, why?
I'm trying to think of any of the faculty. So we asked faculty, we put out a call, and then so whatever faculty wanted to become part of it. So we didn't,
why wouldn't they be a part of it?
Well, we have barriers, Dennis, so maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But I think, again, we presented a couple summers ago to faculty in the CLS. We tried to put it out there. I've had, you know, connections with an NGO and letting them know. But we got the faculty we kind of got.
No.
But that's not to say we don't want to expand to there. And so when we think about going deeper at NIU, we need to kind of think about what are these pockets and gaps that are missing? Could we have PIs in these other places to do that work there as well?
I mean, this is a game changer, right? I mean, just as the College of Business did and other colleges have done in terms of incorporating ethics into curriculum, right, to incorporate sustainability and, you know, the United Nations, you know, SDGs into this. I mean, to make it a part of every class, you know, this is exactly what the vision that we've talked about for years, right, has been. So I think this is awesome.
Very good. Trustee Wasowitz, chair.
Okay. There you go. Christy, this reminds me of, I think, when I first met you and I sat in your office and talked about, why don't we do stuff with the computer science department, and why don't we work together? Nick Cronus walks in and goes, God, I've worked here 10 years. I've never been in this building. And things like that. So this just makes me think that, you know, human beings usually don't like change, and this is change. So what's the biggest pushback you've been seeing from this from, and I would think it'd be more from the faculty side, maybe, on this? And what is it that people are like, eh?
If I would call it pushback. I mean, I think the resistance comes from what I said, the misalignment, right?
Okay.
We have this resource called time, right? And we choose how to spend our time. And literally on my faculty service report, I have 100% and I designate my time for research, teaching, and service. And then listed under there, it tells me exactly what is rewarded and what I can do, right? And so, you know, to go beyond that, right, is actually to go beyond what the university is telling me. This is what we value. This is what we want you to do. So I think there's some resistance maybe there. I think one of the barriers, too, and I think this is why our process is so cool, is that we've gone through this and we've seen the resistance and how it struggles with, like, I don't know how I'm going to teach a class. We had a clinical psychologist in the group, right? And she was like, I have no idea how I'm going to teach this, but I'm going to try, right? And so having the top-down support, having the financial, the time support, right, to wrestle with this and go through this in order to kind of come out the other end and say, hey, this is actually possible. And actually, these are good results. My students are learning. I'm actually getting a different perspective. I like working with people from across campus and seeing that different perspective. It helps me in my own learning, in my own pedagogy, right, in my own professional development. So I think the barriers are like, maybe they don't see the reward at the end. Maybe they don't see that because of the way we've set it up, right? And also because it's a really challenging, messy thing to get through. But I think our process really supports that, right, and goes to that. And because we've seen those kind of maybe resistance points, I mean, obviously we didn't have resistance as much because they self-selected in, right?
Yeah.
But we still had kind of things where, understandably, change is hard, right? We were taking them through this ideation and this kind of design thinking process, and that can be messy. But I think having this process set in place that we can say, hey, we've done this. Yes, here's the things we know you're worried about. Here's how we can kind of diminish those or support those, right? And help kind of spread it. So that was my experience, yeah.
Okay, so maybe some good marketing around here's the promised land. This is how it really can help you. So.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Trustee Strong.
I'll echo some of the comments that I've made prior, and we'll try to keep this brief, but this is a game changer in my mind as well. And John, I appreciate your comment around curriculum innovation. The additional background, 15 years ago, as I was sitting at the head of a federal agency in Washington, my youngest son got his undergraduate degree in agriculture at Iowa State, came home and told his mother and I that he had gotten himself into a master's program overseas and was going to get a master's degree in sustainability science from Lund University in Sweden, one of the few universities at the time that was offering international programs like that. My reaction to him, I said, what are you going to do with a degree in sustainability science? I've learned a lot in the last 15 years. You mentioned the agricultural sector, and I know Dr. Freeman and I have talked about this issue of NIU's place in a changing world that is focusing on issues like sustainability. And yes, the SDG goals are a myriad of interesting attempts and goals to meet, and we deal with it in agriculture every day. My comment is there are significant resources out there in the agricultural space that are trying to figure out agricultural's role, and however I can help bring some of those resources to NIU. For instance, the state of Illinois is the largest contributor to nitrate poisoning in the Gulf of Mexico. A decade ago, the state agricultural organizations came together and did a nutrient loss reduction strategy plan. It comes from the commercial fertilizers, but also livestock waste that are applied onto soils. That's just one example. And the ag sector and food sector that I deal in is focusing on this. DeKalb and NIU, because of its proximity to the largest freshwater basin in the world, the important transportation hub that this region is, the significant amount of agriculture, which is the state's number one industry, and food processing, there are multiple players that can promote and partner with the university on this. I applaud the efforts. This is going to be a key focus of mine as well in my tenure here on the Board of Trustees. I hope to learn more from all of you about the curriculum opportunities here, but I will be a supporter of this effort.
Oh, well, thank you. I love what you just said, because that was like our focus of our first module, was exactly those type of issues. Bringing students and like having our students here, even though we're surrounded by corn, to realize and think about the different stakeholders that are here was really game-changing for a lot of them. I mean, I sat in some of the classes where I've taught this, and the students are like, I never thought about this other group of people or this and how these things are together. And so we brought that up as our first one just because of exactly what you were saying, is that's why it was our first module. It was the first thing that came to our minds as a way of dealing with this.
Well, and it leads to so many other discussions and points now. The area of carbon sequestration is a huge issue of discussion right now in the agricultural sector. Several of our companies are working directly in the carbon market space. That all feeds back into sustainability issues. So, I mean, there's a whole host of directions this goes. I agree. NIU can be and should be a leader across this region, across the Midwest, across the nation, globally, because of the resources we can bring to bear on this. I mean, I realize NIU is not the land-grant university when it comes to agriculture. That resides 125 miles south of here at the University of Illinois. But there is a nexus here of the skills and the ability and the knowledge that this university has in so many of its departments to bring together to launch into this area of being experts in this field. I, again, applaud the effort.
Any other questions from our trustees? Let me thank all of you, by the way, for your questions and your comments. Right on point, smack dab on point. And I thank you again for your presentation. Excellent job. Thank you. Thank you. Let me ask, are there any other matters to come before this committee? Hearing none, the next meeting date of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee will be February the 15th, 2024. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Wozowicz.
Is there a second?
Yes, Strom.
Ms. Hannon, will you please take the roll call vote?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Committee Vice Chair John Butler?
Yes.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Trustee Leland Strom?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wozowicz?
Yes.
All right, with that said, the motion carries. This concludes the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee meeting.